Chapter 6. The Thunder of Azir. The booming echo faded, taking with it the afterglare of Sigmar's thunderbolt. Lord Celestine Gardas's vision cleared instantly. Those forged in the storm suffered little from its attention. He took a step forwards, lightning crawling across his warplate. Broken shards of something crunched beneath him. He felt invigorated. The feeling would fade, but for now, he would put it to use. He raised his Tempestos hammer.
"Who rides the lightning?" he roared. "Only the faithful," came the reply from 100 throats.
Wind whipped aside the curtain of smoke, revealing the battlefield. They were in the courtyard of some colossal, unnatural fortification. A battle was in progress. He spotted a group of stormcasts in familiar silver and azure warplate. They fought doggedly against twice their number of Blight Kings. The bulky Rotbringers paid no heed to the new arrivals, more intent on the foe in front of them. The same story was being played out throughout the fortress. Hallowed knights, alone or in small groups, fighting against a tide of filth greater than any he'd yet seen. Blight Kings, Beastmen and Rotbringers poured into the courtyard from high scaffolding or through crude apertures set into the walls. The rhythmic war cries of the hallowed knights dueled with the droning chants of the Rotbringers as words of faith collided like blades in the smoky air above the fray. Gardas saw at once that Sigmar had sent them when and where they were most needed. But the rest was up to them. Gardas clashed runeblade and hammer together and started forwards, followed closely by the retinue of retributors, who had designated themselves his bodyguards.
"Who will be victorious?" he shouted. "Only the faithful!"
his warriors bellowed as they advanced in his wake. The thunder of their charge shook the ground. He gave no orders. Angston, Kadok, and the others knew their roles and would fulfill them, or die trying. The citadel was to be taken, and the enemy crushed. All else could wait. He caught a glimpse of Taunus hurtling past, wings spread. The redeemed one seemed especially eager to come to grips with the foe. For his part, Gardas sought out the telltale signs of Lord Relictor Morbus's presence, the shriek of lightning and that familiar, hollow cry of challenge. Morbus would be where the fighting was the thickest, or else... Ah, there. Through the pall of smoke, he spotted Morbus's gleaming reliquary standard. It rose over the fray like a beacon. The Lord Relictor appeared to be fighting alone. Gardas signaled to the leader of his bodyguards.
"Hamu, we go to aid the Storm Warden." "We shall help you clear a path, Lord Celestine," Hamu said, hefting his Star Soul mace meaningfully.
He and his warriors fanned out in an arrowhead formation, with Gardas at its head. They struck the enemy ranks like a hammer blow. Hamu's mace crashed down, the shockwaves of its descent tearing the ragged souls from the Rotbringers' broken bodies. Gardas struck out left and right, crushing skulls and severing limbs. Rotbringers scrambled from his path as he surged forwards. As the press of bodies thinned, Gardas saw Morbus standing between the Rotbringers and several cages of wood and iron. Inside the cages, mortal men and women lay curled in fetal positions, or else hunkered in corners. Some few leaned against the bars, their bandaged hands catching at Morbus's cloak and armor as he swept his staff out, driving his foes back. Gardas felt an echo of familiarity. He smelled the stink of open wounds and the astringent odor of poultices prepared by his own hands. He heard the voices of the sick, the lame, calling out to him from across an ocean of forgotten moments. He shook his head, clearing it, and saw that the Lord Relictor had begun to smash open the cages. But the prisoners seemed unwilling or unable to escape. Too sick. Too weak. It didn't matter. All that mattered was that they were there, and they needed to be protected.
"Hamu, the cages!" Gardas said.
The Retributor Prime gestured, showing he'd heard, and directed two of his men to protect the cages. Gardas ducked beneath the charging Beastman and rose quickly, throwing the creature over his back. He pinned it to the ground with his foot, and before it could rise, quickly buried his runeblade in its chest. More of the filthy creatures swirled about him. They were rank and covered in waste. Most wore ragged robes and blistered armor over their starveling forms, while others capered in clinking mail. Biting flies swarmed about them as they attacked. Huma's mace claimed the souls of two, while the lightning hammer of a retributor accounted for another. Gardas met the charge, and as he fought, light began to seep through the joints of his armor. As the light swelled up, the beastmen cowered back. Where the radiance touched them, their flesh sizzled audibly. Gardas hesitated, at a loss as to why his light had affected them so. They took advantage of his hesitation and scrambled away, grunting and whining in fear. He turned back towards Morbus and the cages. But a snarling, foam-jawed beastman, clad in rusty mail and a rotting tabard, sought to bar his path. Unlike its fellows, it showed no fear of the light that emanated from him. The creature was easily twice Gardas's height and heavy with muscle. It had a stag's head, and its moldy antlers rose to impressive heights. It brayed something in its own dark tongue and swung its two-handed sword down. Gardas caught the blow on his rune blade and drove his hammer into the beastman's side. Bone crunched, and the creature gasped out a cloud of pestilential breath. With surprising speed, it whipped its sword up in a tight arc. The blackened blade scraped a thin line of sparks across Gardas's chestplate, knocking him back a step. He backed away as it rose to its hooves. They circled one another. The creature was more disciplined than the other beasts he'd fought. Someone had trained it, taught it to wield a blade. Its nostrils flared, and the stag's jaws widened, revealing a predator's teeth. Slowly, it brought the flat of its blade up in a crude salute. Instinctively, Gardas returned the gesture.
"Oh,"
the beast growled. "I am Gardas," he said, without knowing why.
Past jaw is night."
The beastman straightened, shaking its antlers in obvious pride.
"Fight for honor. Good fight. Come, we fight."
Gardas extended his rune blade. "We fight," he said. Honor satisfied, the creature resumed its attack. It was stronger than he was, but not by much, and it was slowed down by the weight of its blade. Nonetheless, it kept him at bay for long moments, and he was forced to dodge or counter its attacks rather than make any of his own. But gradually, surely, it began to slow. Foam gathered at the corners of its jaws, and its yellow gaze burned with frustration and fatigue. The two-handed blade swept down. As before, Gardas caught it on his own. But this time, rather than simply blocking it, he guided it, point first, into the ground. As it sank home, he brought his hammer down on its length, shattering it. Then, more quickly than Pustule could react, he drove his hammer across its jaw, snapping its neck. It fell backwards, hooves drumming the ground in its death throes. He studied it for a moment. For a beast, it had almost been a man. He wondered if it, like Taunus, might have been capable of redemption. Was there a spark of humanity in even such brute flesh, some ineffable mote which could be plucked free and made wondrous? If so, its death was a waste. Metal clanged. He spun and drove his rune blade into the swollen belly of a Blight King. The corrupted warrior's own blow, meant for the back of Gardas's head, had been caught on the length of a reliquary staff. As the Blight King sagged back, the staff's wielder finished him with a precise strike from a warhammer.
"I see your time on the anvil has not rendered you more observant," Lord Relictor Morbus said. "To have arrived and departed so soon would be a ridiculous thing, don't you think? What would Loras say?"
"I bow to your wisdom, brother," Gardas said. "My thanks."
Around them, Retributor and Rotbringer still fought, but an island of calm was being cleared, slowly but steadily. Hamu and his warriors were efficient in their brutality, and the resounding claps of thunder that rose from every blow signaled another fallen foe.
"Thanks are unnecessary," Morbus hesitated. "It is good to see you again."
The Lord Relictor sounded tired, though Gardas could not see his face. He slumped against his staff, his armor covered in dents and scratches. Gardas realized that Morbus was keeping the storm overhead in place by sheer force of will, and likely had been doing so since the battle began. The healing rains fell steadily, burning away the blight of Nurgle and lending strength to the hallowed knights.
"And you," Gardas said, as a Blight King bowled past Hamu and charged him, roaring guttural oaths.
He ducked beneath the brute's swing and let his rune blade pass through a bulging thicket of intestines, muscle, and finally bone. The blade hissed as it bit into the corrupted meat, burning its way clear of the body. The Blight King slid in two different directions and plopped wetly to the ground. Morbus kicked the top half aside.
"An observant you may be, but it's good to see that your skills with a blade haven't dulled."
With the last Blight King's death, the remaining Rotbringers lost their stomach for the fight. Those who could fled in a clatter of funerary bells and chains. The rest died. Hamu and his retributors made short work of them, and then arrayed themselves in a cordon about Gardas and Morbus. Gardas took the opportunity to examine the cages and their inhabitants.
"There are hundreds like them, scattered about these citadels," Morbus said. "The Lord Castellan sent Enyo and Tegras to see to their shattering."
Gardas gave him a sharp look.
"And will they stay to defend them as well?"
Morbus looked away.
"We have given them the chance. We can do no more until we hold these walls."
"Yet here you stand," Gardas said.
He knelt. A prisoner stared at him in glassy-eyed fascination, her face crawling with flies. He reached out to her, and his light caused the insects to curl up and drop from the air. She reached for his hand, her mouth working silently. He looked up and found Morbus staring at him.
"You are glowing."
Gardas stood and tried to tamp down on the light, to force it back down inside him.
"A gift from the Anvil of Apotheosis. And what was the price?"
"As I said, a gift."
Gardas met the Lord Relictor's gaze and didn't look away. There was no judgment there. Morbus, as ever, kept his true thoughts to himself.
"Besides, if I were changed, would I know?"
Morbus grunted. Feeling as if he'd scored a victory of sorts, Gardas asked,
"Where's Loras?"
He surveyed the field as he did so, noting areas where the stormcasts held firm and areas where they would need reinforcement. From the sound of it, Kurunta had taken the walls. The Night Heralder's war horn blared out challenge after challenge and shook the vast network of scaffolding that caged the courtyard. Morbus shook his head.
"He's taken several retinues into the warrens beneath this place. There might be more to the fortresses than we thought."
Something in the way he said it caught Gardas's attention.
"A realm gate, you mean?"
he asked, voice pitched low.
"Is that possible?"
Morbus looked at him.
"We stand in a fortress made from hardened seaweed and the bones of long-drowned leviathans, and you ask that?"
Gardas frowned.
"Whether it is or not, he shall have to take care of it himself. We have no one to spare to send after him." "Why didn't he wait?" "Would you have waited?"
Gardas looked away. He watched as Hamu's mace crumpled a Blight King's helm, causing it to jet pus from its visor.
"That's not the point." "Perhaps not," Morbus said.
He sagged slightly. Gardas reached for him, but the Lord Relictor waved him off.
"Calling to the storm fatigued me, but there is no time for rest, not until this place is secure."
"It will be soon enough."
Then he would lead warriors into the depths, in search of the Lord Castellan. If there was a realm gate here, he intended to either secure it or destroy it, by whatever means necessary. Morbus looked up, eyes narrowing within the sockets of his skull helm.
"Who is that?"
Gardas followed his gaze and saw Taunus swoop overhead. The Knight Venator loosed a swift volley, felling half a dozen Rotbringers in as many moments.
"He wears our colors, but I do not recognize him." You have met him before, at the Blackstone Summit.
Morbus hissed in recognition.
Him?
Then,
he has changed somewhat.
A great deal, Gardas said. Whatever he was, he is our brother now, and an asset to our cause.
As my Lord Celestin says, Morbus murmured, he made for a fierce foe. He even took Loras's hand, nearly killed him.
Gardas peered at him.
He's going to be unhappy about it, isn't he?
Has he ever been happy?
Gardas smiled.
Once, I think, just after he'd knocked me off my feet during a training bout.
His smile faded as hunting horns brayed, signaling the arrival of enemy reinforcements. Loping beastmen appeared, pouring through one of the inner gates.
Telltale lightning flared upwards as they crashed into a retinue of hallowed knights.
Gardas looked at Morbus.
Come, there is red work yet to be done, and I would have it finished quickly.
Taunus the Redeemed sped upwards through the fly-ridden air, following Cadoc Kell. He trailed after the Steel Souls knight Azeroth as the other warrior hurtled towards the wooden bridges that connected the upper levels of the citadel to its neighbors. Silver-clad hallowed knights fought fiercely to take possession of the uneven ramparts and turrets. Taunus helped where he could as he ascended, loosing arrow after arrow. He and Cadoc had been dispatched by Knight Vexilor Angstun to see to the Rotbringer reinforcements spilling over from one of the other citadels. If they could not be checked, the hallowed knights might be overwhelmed. It felt strange, fighting against warriors he might once have commanded. He looked into the featureless helms of Blight Kings and saw a reflection of who he had been. As he had been twisted into Torglug, so too had these warriors been corrupted. The mortal Rotbringers had been similarly broken. Their hope had been replaced with despair, and their faith stretched all out of joint. Could they be saved, as he had been? Or had there been something different about him? Even if they could have been redeemed, Cadoc seemed to have no interest in doing so. The knight Azeroth fought like a maddened Gaelian, jade in fang and claw. Cadoc burst through walkways and severed the ropes binding the rickety bridges, spilling enemies to the ground far below. He shattered bones and hacked through limbs, leaving a trail of bodies to mark his ascent. Hallowed knights cheered wherever he passed, though the tenor of those cries was different to those Gardas received. The Steel Souls loved Gardas, but there could be no loving a warrior like Cadoc. Taunus watched in uncomfortable fascination as Cadoc caught up a poxmonk wrapped in stinking robes and an antiquated breastplate and carried him high into the air.
Look, Taunus, I've caught a mouse,
Cadoc called out, gripping the struggling, screaming Rotbringer by his throat.
Would your eagle like a snack?
I am thinking such meat would be disagreeing with him,
Taunus said.
You're probably right. Back you go, little mouse.
Cadoc opened his hand, and the monk plummeted downwards, trailing a despairing scream. Cadoc chuckled.
You'd think their fly god would gift them with wings.
Taunus shook his head, somewhat taken aback. Following Cadoc was proving to be a valuable lesson. Thus far, the other stormcasts he'd met had been stern or even savage, but none so cruel as Cadoc Kell. The dark gods must have wept in rage to see his soul ascend to Azir, for such a warrior might have risen high in their ranks. Then, perhaps not. Cadoc was zealously devoted to Sigmar. His faith pulsed in him the way Gardas's did, but it was not the same sort of faith at all. For Gardas, war was a grim necessity, a thing to be done well but swiftly. For Cadoc, war was a celebration, and every foe slain was another sacrifice in Sigmar's name. Indeed, he'd come to discover that few of the Hallowed Knights shared the same tenets of faith. They had all called upon Sigmar in their final moments, but not the same Sigmar. Some had called upon Zigmar, Thundercracker, or Zegmar, the Benevolent, or any one of a thousand other iterations of the God-King. Did they still see him that way? Or had they traded one Sigmar for another once they met him face to face? Tornus had called upon Sigmar the Builder, and there seemed to be little difference in the being he'd worshipped and the one who'd redeemed him. But he could not believe that the wise God-King he had knelt before would countenance the brutal worship of a being like Cadoc. The knight Azeroth dropped down onto the edge of the largest walkway. It had been carved from a single massive bone and was suspended in a web of chains from a framework of rotting wood which extended across the gap between citadel walls. Far below, the sea slapped at the foundations of the Sargasso citadels. The dark waters heaved and swelled as strange, vast shapes fought over the bodies that fell from above. Rotbringers, led by a phalanx of Blight Kings, were flooding across the walkway towards the citadel. They rang plague bells and sang bilious songs as the Blight Kings chanted dolorously. More groups pressed forwards behind them, eager to make their own crossing. The leading Blight Kings slowed as they caught sight of Cadoc standing in their path. The knight Azeroth laughed.
Look at them, Tornus! Are they not ridiculous in their tatters and rust?
Tornus said nothing. Cadoc was speaking for his own benefit, a common occurrence he was coming to learn. Cadoc drew his starblade and set it point first into the walkway.
None here can stop me, he said, raising his celestial beacon. I am a prince of Ekran. You are like worms fighting an eagle with as much hope of survival.
The light washed across the walkways, boiling the advancing Rotbringers in their own skins. The Blight Kings pressed forwards, despite the smoke rising from their ruined frames. None got close. One by one, they sank down, wreathed in azure flames. Tornus winced in sympathy. He well recalled that light and what it felt like to be caught up in it. A scalding pain heaped upon agony. A pain so unbearable that even death was preferable to enduring it for more than a moment. Even the dark gods themselves could not conceive of such a pain. It was the pain of negation, of obliteration, of the complete and utter dissolution of being. Only the strongest could survive its touch. Cadoc shuttered his beacon and chuckled.
See, Tornus, the mercy of Azir!
This is being a mercy,
Cadoc laughed.
Of course! Now they do not have to suffer beneath the lashes of their false gods.
He hung the beacon from his belt.
In another life, I would have bound them in cages of iron and hung them over the fire pits to sweat away their sins in Sigmar's name.
He shook his head.
Oh, well. Enough reminiscing. There is being more of them.
Tornus knocked an arrow and let it fly, pinning a Rotbringer to the walkway frame. The servants of Nurgle were nothing if not fearless. Pain was a gift, and one eagerly sought. Mostly, at any rate.
Ah, good!
Cadoc spread his wings with a shrieking crackle.
More souls for Sigmar's fires!
The Rotbringers stumbled to a halt, those at the back falling over those in front.
Best get ready to die, friends, he called out. I will be along in just a moment.
Tornus stared in consternation at his fellow Stormcast. Cadoc slapped the flat of his blade against his chest as he strode along the smoke-wreathed walkway.
Come on, don't be scared. I bring you peace, friends. I bring you absolution.
He spread his arms.
But I grow impatient. Come, hurry! You were so eager before. Are you scared?
A Blight King shoved his way to the fore and bellowed a gurgling challenge. Cadoc inclined his head in acknowledgement.
There we are, he said.
He took a step, and then another, and then, with a single flap of his wings, he was airborne.
Come, see how a Kel fights maggots, Cadoc roared.
His starblade looped out, removing the Blight King's head.
Cadoc Kel, last prince of the Ekran, demands your attention.
The air boomed as he surged forwards with a snap of his crackling wings. He tore through the Rotbringer ranks, leaving a path of severed limbs and headless necks in his wake. Few of the foe sought to stand against him, preferring instead to take their chances against less swift-moving opponents. They turned and fled back across the walkway, Kadok in pursuit, roaring out a song in praise of Sigmar. Taunus swooped in his wake, Realm Hunter's bow humming as he loosed arrow after arrow at the Rotbringers trapped on the walkway, caught between Kadok and their fellows behind. As quickly as he could grasp an arrow from his quiver, he sent it flying. Osphinis flew at his side, talons tearing at any Rotbringer who sought to grab him. Kadok ploughed on, hurling Rotbringers from the walkway as he sought to tear the heart out of them. Prosecutors swooped towards the mass of Rotbringers from behind. The Chamber's Angelos Conclave had been dispatched to distract the forces occupying the other two citadels. To that end, they'd freed the captives from the slave cages in all three citadels. Now, reinforced by the newly arrived reforged prosecutors, they could help those freed slaves do more than just escape. A part of Taunus was sickened at the thought of using mortals in such a fashion. Another, wiser part knew that it was a sad necessity. The Stormcast Eternals were too few to do more than pierce the dark. For their light to flourish, they needed to rally the mortal inhabitants of the realms, from the lowliest grot to the greatest gargant, and everyone in between. Every arm that could wield a sword would be needed before the Varan Spire was toppled and Archaon Everchosen, the Grand Marshal of Chaos, was cast from his throne. As Torglug, he had feared Archaon. The thought of that volcanic presence, of the harsh weight of that three-eyed gaze, had been one of the few things capable of shaking the despised one's certainty. Archaon was the end made flesh, the null point, where all light and courage was reduced to memory. Few Chaos Lords would even consider openly defying Archaon, and those that would were either mad or foolish. Torglug had been neither. Taunus pushed the thought aside. He didn't like to think on those days. Torglug was gone, and good riddance. As Lord Celestin Silas had said, he was Taunus now, and forevermore. He loosed an arrow, pinning a Blight King's arm to the walkway, before the warrior could land a blow on Kadok. The knight Azeroth's wings sliced out, burning through the trapped Blight King's neck, and sending his head tumbling into the waters below.
A fine shot! Kadok would have been angry if you'd stolen his kill.
Taunus glanced around and saw another knight Venator perched on a nearby buttress, her bow lying across her knees. Her star eagle swooped towards Osphinis, and the two birds circled one another in a graceful dance.
I am thinking the same, he said.
He glided towards her.
I see you walk the Realm Hunter's path, she said, and you bear the colours of the faithful, but you are not of our chamber.
Silas the Untarnished is being my commander.
Have the Gleaming Host come to aid us, then?
She sounded almost disappointed. Taunus shook his head.
It is only being me.
Ah, well, you are welcome.
She spread her arms.
Stay and shoot, if you like.
She gestured to the walkway.
Plenty of targets.
She rose to her feet.
Is that how you are thinking of them?
How would you refer to them?
She eyed him.
I am Enyo.
Taunus.
Well, Taunus, if they are targets, they have chosen to make themselves such. We held true to our faith and suffered for it. Let them now do the same.
She drew an arrow, sighted, loosed.
I will not pity them their choices.
Taunus drew an arrow of his own.
They are possibly not having one.
She did not reply, simply sent a second arrow after the first. For a moment, they loosed in silent harmony, peppering the Rotbringers with arrow after arrow. There was a strange sort of peace in the rhythm of it. Taunus let his thoughts fall away, his worries and doubts. The only thing that mattered was the crackle-snap of the bowstring and the vibration of an arrow leaving his hand. All too soon it was over. Rotbringers fled back the way they'd come, seeking the dubious safety of the citadel below. On the ramparts, retinues of liberators and judicators began to follow them. Thunderhead brotherhoods, supported by prosecutors, had been dispatched to see to the taking of the ramparts of the other two citadels. They would take control of the upper levels and dig in, awaiting reinforcements. Once the central fortress had fallen and the various routes between the three were under control, the Stormcasts would be free to concentrate the full might of the chamber on the others, each in turn.
"They flee,"
Enyo murmured, lowering her bow. She glanced at Tornus.
"I know who you are now. Not at first, but there is only one Tornus."
He did not look at her.
"And so?"
"So nothing," she said. "You wear our symbol. You are bonded to a celestial bird. That is enough, I think. I have faith."
Tornus nodded and perched beside her on the buttress.
"I am glad to be hearing you saying that."
He flexed his hand, watching the sigmarite plates of his gauntlet move.
"There are not many who are being so forgiving."
"No, I expect not. Nor should you."
She looked away.
"We were not forged with forgiveness in mind. We are the storm, and like the storm, we do only as we must, not as we might wish. A good thing, I think. Otherwise, Kadok would be more unbearable than he already is."
She looked up.
"Speaking of whom..."
"Ah, Enyo!"
Kadok called, swooping about them.
"My tally stands at 37 souls sent to Sigmar's fires." "You must be pleased," the Night Venator said. "What is yours?"
he demanded.
"I do not count my kills, Prince of Ekran."
Kadok laughed.
"Ha ha! That means I'm winning!"
Enyo gestured.
"You see, as savage, faith is his only saving grace."
"My faith is shown in victory,"
Kadok said. Tornus couldn't tell whether he was angry or pleased at the insult. He swatted his beacon with the flat of his blade.
"By my light, are the faithful guided to their triumph, and the false burnt to ashes?"
"I'd like to think the rest of us had a little something to do with it,"
Enyo said.
"A bit, perhaps," Kadok admitted. "But I shine the brightest in his eyes. Come, Tornus, join me. I go to spread my light to the darkest corners of the far citadel. Let them know the glory and terror that comes of standing against the Prince of Ekran."
He swooped upwards without waiting for a reply. Tornus watched the Night Azeroth soar away.
"He is seeming to remember much of his life from before."
On the ramparts, a few remaining Rotbringers were attempting to drive back the shield wall of liberators advancing on them. They shouted out praises to Nurgle with hysterical abandon, as if begging their god to intervene and save them.
"It would take more than a single forging on the anvil of apotheosis to dent that ego."
Enyo sighted along an arrow. She let it fly, and a Rotbringer fell.
"From what little I know of the Ekran, they were a fierce folk and proud."
"Pride is being a weakness,"
Tornus said. Enyo glanced at him.
"You sound as if you know that from experience," she said.
"Kadok is not being alone in his memories," Tornus said.
He tracked a lumbering Blight King along a lower scaffold.
"I am also remembering where I am coming from, and I am remembering how I got there."
He loosed the arrow. The Blight King shot backwards, striking the wall, then toppled forwards through the rail of the scaffold and down. Tornus watched him fall.